Ryan McGee, ESPN. You can listen to Morning McGee here on 99.9 The Fan Saturday mornings, obviously on the SEC Network as well. Ryan joins us now. Are you back in NC after yesterday's championship game?
I am. And according to my smartwatch, I was not so smart. I slept, I'm looking at it, 3 hours and 11 minutes. And I filed my story, I don't know, round two. And then I have to explain to the young people that cover their first national championship, we don't always get taken care of like we do at college football playoff. And there's a very nice media hospitality area. And I got talked into walking over there last night. And so
you got dragged over there, you mean?
Yeah, we're at the airport this morning, right? And we're all comparing. How much did you sleep? How much did you not sleep? And then while we're having the conversation, the producer calls Game Day and me and a bunch of guys, and we look up and we see Stetson Bennett on Good Morning America. And we're like, well, however we slept more than he did. We could tell without even hearing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think the last time I woke up or was still inebriated the following morning. Stetson Bennett.
Oh, there was
a
lot of that. And everyone on the plane, it was all Georgia fans. It was great. It's always the longest night of the year, but it's always the most fun night of the year. I've been known to just go to the hospitality suite and say, I need a pot of coffee. And they just hand you one and you go to the room and write. And then you get on a plane. But I was smart enough this year. I used to be king of the red eye. And I'm smart enough now as I get older. At least I took like a 10:30 flight this morning, as opposed to years past, I'm like rolling into like a 7:15. That's just
nice. You didn't write your story and get on the plane while wearing your fire suit from the 500, did you?
So Marty and I went out to interesting. I have been to Indianapolis every year of my adult life, either covering the Indy 500 or the Brickyard 400, or in a lot of years both. I never been to Indianapolis, one of my favorite cities. I've been second probably only to Charlotte of where I've been in my life as an adult. And I've never been there in the wintertime when it was cold. And so Marty and I went out to Indianapolis Schiller Speedway, and they had these fire suits made. They originally were made for the coaches. Those suits were made for Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, but they didn't want to do the thing because of COVID and whatever else. And so we put them on. But mine, Marty's, was too big for him, and I needed some WD-40 to get my Georgia fire suit on, but it looked good on TV. That's all we
had. You were in the right place for WD-40. I'm sure there was plenty of lubricant there.
I went to the Mobile One truck and said, I need all the lubricant that you have. And yeah, that's but it was great. We had a good time. It was good to get out. It was just weird. Normally when I'm at the Speedway, there's 350,000 people there, and the only people there on Sunday, it was me, Marty, the crew, and there were some Georgia fans at the museum. It was great. That's one of my favorite places on earth.
Ryan McGee joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. Quick question before we get to some other matters. Look, it's great for Kirby Smart. He finally got over Nick Saban. But do you think this changes anything for next season? Because I heard Roddy Jones on with Adam Gold today. I believe he referred to that Alabama team as like Alabama Light, LITE. You know, like that wasn't a classic Nick Saban team that we saw last night.
No, Chris Lowe, our colleague last night was me, Chris Lowe, Mark Slaybaugh, Andrew Adelson, and Heather Dennich. We were there for ESPN.com, and Chris Lowe, who's covered more national championships than all of us added up and ever will, old CeeLo says, Nick Saban, and this is halfway through the fourth quarter, he says Nick Saban is about to win a national championship with one of the most talented depleted teams he's had. And it's the truth. I mean, you know, they lost the number one receiver in the SEC championship game. They lost the new number one receiver during the game last night. The reality is Bryce Young's still a young guy. That's still an offensive line that has struggled. It was not. I mean, if you take Nick Saban's 15 teams at Alabama, this one probably would rank about 11th or 12th on the talent list, and yet he still almost won a national championship with those guys. So yeah, but now they're all coming back. You know, I keep seeing all these 2022 early Heisman watch lists, and I'm like, hey guys, Bryce Young's coming back. I mean, hey, he's really good, even though he struggled against that defense a little bit last night. So, yeah, this was – I don't know that it changes anything except now the Georgia fan base really believes that they can win the football game. And, you know, that Georgia team that was – to me was the most talented team in the country – now they know mentally they can win the football game. They all believe that when they get off the bus. Now they really believe it. And so that might change. You know, it's Drago, right? He bleeds. But the problem is, you know, when Alabama's gotten knocked down like this in years past, they've usually come back and won like back-to-back championships.
Ryan McGee, ESPN, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giulio. I was going to say, Ryan, you're uniquely qualified to answer this question because you've spent so much time here in the Triangle. But this almost feels to me like Duke breaking through in 91 for their first basketball title, right? Like they were, this isn't the hapless Cubs. This isn't the Red Sox once every 40 years making the playoffs. This is a Georgia program that's been consistently excellent. Does that feel like the right analogy to you for Kirby Smart and Georgia and the football
program? No, 100%. And it's a fair comparison because we all know that Duke was pouring every resource they had into the basketball program and still couldn't get over the hump and still couldn't get past Carolina, or, you know, and they're talking about, you know, going to the Final Four, you know, in the 70s, you know, there's pride there, but there's not the trophies to back it up. Jordan, no one pumps more money into football than Georgia. No one, not Alabama, not Clemson, no one. And for them to be a football school, Mark Slaybaugh wrote a phenomenal piece on ESPN.com today. And listen, he grew up in Georgia. He went to Georgia. He still lives in Athens. He's got two daughters who are in Georgia right now. And what he's always referred to Athens is, you know, a drinking town with a football problem, which is, you know, they have all this pride and they have all these wins, but, you know, two generations of fans had not seen a national championship. And Herschel Walker's getting old. He didn't look like it, but he is. And so, you know, when I moved from Raleigh down to upstate South Carolina, you know, Clemson kept going on and on about that we've done this and we've done that. I'm like, man, those bumper stickers have faded. You know, NC State basketball, those bumper stickers are not red anymore. They're pink. They're faded. And so it was like that at Georgia too. So, yeah, that's the perfect comparison. And now the question is, what do you do with it? Because we all know what Duke did with it, obviously, once they finally broke through. And, you know, we'll see if Georgia can maintain. I believe that they can. They just won a national championship with a very average quarterback. You know, there's only one way to go with that position, which is up, and that's good for them.
Ryan McGee, ESPN, covers college football, motorsports. Marty McGee, you can listen to on 99.9 The Fan on Saturday mornings. We'll close on this because it's not entirely way too early to start talking about next year, Ryan. Look, locally, we spent a lot of time looking at North Carolina going, hey, what happened with all the offseason talk and the hype and the preseason top 10? And you wind up 6-7 with an embarrassing loss to South Carolina in the Mayo Bowl. And NC State took great joy in all of that. Now they're the ones who are going to get some serious looks. How do you see the offseason of conversation around an NC State squad that, unlike North Carolina's team last year, is bringing back a very veteran group?
Yeah, and I think they should be very excited. I talked to you guys about this back in the summer. Everybody loves Mac. Everybody loves, you know, Carolina's great, whatever. I never believed all that. I mean, I needed to see it before I believed it, and we certainly did not see it. But, yeah, no, I think there's a lot of reason for enthusiasm. You know, but there is, talking about a team that wears red, there is a mental hurdle that you have to get over. And there's, you know, there's that little bit of you that just relishes, right, the bowl getting canceled and it's not your fault, and you're coming home from Omaha, it's not your fault, and all that stuff. You got to get over that stuff. You have to expect to win the big football games, and you have to focus on those things as opposed to what the reason was that you didn't do those things. But no, they're in position to do some stuff. And they're also, with the greatest respect to the ACC and then that division, they're also in a position to make big moves. You know, you can't necessarily do that in the SEC West. But Georgia has benefited from being in the SEC East because They caught it when it was down, and they could make big moves, and they could recruit over the top of people. And so, yeah, I think there's the potential for a lot of momentum. But also, as y'all know, I grew up in the area. I feel like I've been saying there's potential for a lot of momentum since I was, I don't know, seven.
Yeah. It is a repeatable topic in the summertime. Ryan McGee, hey, man, appreciate it. Go get some sleep.
Anytime, boys. Appreciate it.